The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy weekend once again, radio family, and welcome to the weekend edition of Community Focus. Getting things started, as usually is the case, here on our intercom stations Saturday and Sunday morning. Not only your fine company, but the company of members of our Community Focus family. Now, he was definitely regular in 2018. And as, of course, we are in the throes of the beginning of the new year, that typically, Rudy Click, means it's tax season time. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, family. It is tax season again.
It is. And so glad to have you back here. And given what's been the topic of conversation, whether at the water cooler or just in public places in general, not only are we in the throes of a government shutdown, but of course the big question, how is this going to impact the tax season? We're going to get into that. But let me start off by asking, what are the new individual income tax rates and brackets? Just the general changes that, whether there's a shutdown or not, these are still the changes that are in place.
You're right, right. That is true. So we know that there was a new tax reform done in the late 2018 that affects this year. Mm-hmm. And so the tax brackets, most people always ask about which brackets they're in, but they go from a 10% tax bracket to a 12%, 22%, 24%, 32%, 35%, and 37%. Mm-hmm. 37% being the highest tax bracket. If you're married, filing joint, to qualify for that tax bracket, you have to make over $600,000.
Right.
And if you're single, it's $500,000. And if you're married, filing separate, it's $300,000 if we make over that. Where the smallest tax bracket, which is 10%, if you married, filing joint, if you make $19,050, then that will put you in that bracket. If you're single, it's $9,525. Or married, filing separate, is the same thing.
Right.
If you're head of household, it's $13,600. So, and all the tax brackets fall within those ranges. So, it can go as low as $9,525, it's a 10% bracket, or as high as $600,000, which is a 37% tax bracket.
Excellent. And thank you for explaining that. And, Rudy, please forgive me. Let me give you the proper introduction. You are an enrolled agent with ANC Accounting Services. So, again, always appreciate your time. I always learn something from you, Rudy, I must share, if I haven't already. Anytime that we talk about taxes and tax reforms, the next question, how has the standard deductions changed? Let's go over that for the next few minutes.
Okay, so there is a new regulation that has increased the standard deduction by nearly double, from $6,350 to $12,000 for a single filer, and from $12,700 to $24,000 for joint filers. Right. And this essentially, what this would do is simply make, and we'll talk about that later, the Schedule A almost obsolete. There's some things that you still can file on your Schedule A, but because you have that $24,000 as a married couple, it'd be pretty difficult sometime to reach that threshold to file, to itemize. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the major changes that's taking place, is the standard deductions.
Very good. And to follow up on that, let me ask you this. Do I still have a personal exemption?
Well, that's one of the compromises they made on that, is that the personal exemption deduction used to be used to reduce your tax income.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's been suspended. So there's no real personal exemption at all.
Okay.
you have it the first usually two dependents, but generally you could choose all the dependents to lower your standard deduction.
Right.
So that's something that has changed dramatically, is that there's only two now.
Just as an aside question, Rudy, for individuals, whether single or married, is there, I don't know if you've ever been asked this before, it just popped into my head, is there ever a cutoff, especially in terms of the number of dependents? Because you may have individuals who have a large family. They may have well over five, six, maybe seven plus kids. How does that factor in?
Well, yeah, that's one of the drawbacks of this. That, mm-hmm. In my opinion, that's one of the disadvantages in this new tax code, because right. it used to be that you could take those exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had six children, there'd be six you could put on. You've had,
right.
you had parents, you know, you'd have, you could also put them exemption on. But with the new tax law, a person's exemption is essentially suspended.
Okay.
But, you know, in 2017, taxpayers may continue to get a deduction of $4,050
right.
for each person exemption. Well, at this point, there's no that $4,050 after two is not really
right.
is not does deduction can take now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty certain in just that particular situation or scenario, Rudy, we're still early into the new year, and I know you've been busy
yeah,
since
yeah.
day one uh-huh. with these new tax laws in effect.
Exactly. Yeah, we starting in the IRS started putting out bulletins and documentation after the law was passed back in July. And so
right.
we've taken, and not just me, but many of us taken several classes on the new tax codes and
right.
hours spent
wow.
trying to figure out
exactly.
how this will affect our industry and mm-hmm. how it affect individuals. Interesting thing about it, though, is mm-hmm. that it was some folks had said a lot about that it should make the tax code simpler. It
has. It has not.
It's
wow.
made it more complex. Really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to every time I see you, just commend you for your continuation and keeping up with the laws, because they are constantly changing. And the fact that you've been doing this for a minute, my friend,
yeah,
and yet you're very welcome. And I just so appreciate your willingness to continue to take in that knowledge and to really help us, because a lot of it, of course, when we talk about just the lingo in general, can get a little mm-hmm. bit confusing. But experts like yourself, you're there to really keep up. Now, I wanted to share this, Rudy, with you, that I had an opportunity to share with a mutual friend of ours in mm-hmm. Mustafa Shabazz.
Oh, yeah.
And the last time Mustafa stopped by, we were talking about the impact that the shutdown may or may not have on the housing market.
Mm-hmm.
And I was relaying to him, and I'm sure even more so with you being an enrolled agent, have heard the news that the Internal Revenue Service says that even with this government shutdown, that tax refunds will be issued.
Right. So we just got a communique mm-hmm. yesterday, matter of fact,
okay.
that the I think it's 46,000 new agents will be coming back
right.
to work.
Correct.
That means that
and that was the last news I heard.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so that means that they will open the digital gates open
mm-hmm.
on time.
Mm-hmm.
Refunds should be going out on the time.
Okay, very good.
Hopefully, you've gotten your W-2s on time and all
right,
that thing.
Right. Exactly. So
the tax season is supposed to start smoothly.
Okay, good.
Now, we'll see.
Yeah. That's the best way to
yeah,
put it, because
right.
every day we're hearing something like, can it get any crazier than it already is?
Right.
And, of course, we seem to have that question answered, but we won't get into all the political portion of that.
Exactly.
But let me, and thank you, Rudy, for letting me kind of just step aside
yeah.
a little bit, but getting back on base, especially with the Tax Reform Act. Now, let's focus on, and let me ask you this, has the deduction for alimony or separate maintenance payments, have they changed?
They have. This is a real interesting code.
Yeah.
I would say not code, really interesting twist on the law.
Mm-hmm.
It says for any divorce or separate agreement entered into December the 31, 2018, after that,
right.
That separate maintenance has payments have been repealed. So what that means now is before this
mm-hmm.
law is that you, if you had alimony, you had to count that alimony as income.
Right.
And if the person that was paying the alimony had to count the alimony as a deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's been suspended.
Okay.
At this point now, you don't have to count it as income, nor are you able to deduct it from your taxes. So,
okay.
So you can pay it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to be able to deduct it. And if you do get it, you don't
right.
have to claim it as income.
Income.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
It just seems that every year there is something.
A little
like
twist.
You said, the little twist. I
yeah,
like that
twist.
Word.
Yeah.
Well, Rudy, let me ask you one more question before we go to break. Has
uh-huh.
there been any changes made to the tax, a child tax credit, rather?
Yeah, this is another change that was made in the law. Mm-hmm. I guess previous, you got a child tax credit of $1,000 per child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gone up. They've gone up to $2,000 per child, which is a great, great benefit.
Yeah.
I think. And the refundable portion, you also got $1,100
mm-hmm.
If you could get in what they call an additional child tax credit.
Right.
So now that's gone up to $1,400. Okay. So those two child credits have really been increased. And if you can qualify for those, that's a great benefit.
Yeah. That is, especially mm-hmm. when we look at some of the others in which have either been removed or have mm-hmm. been taken away. Mm-hmm. Well,
just one thing on that, too, I need to point out is that they did increase. It used to be that it phased out at if you was married, filing joint, and phased out at $110,000. Mm-hmm. Well, they increased it to now that it won't phase out until you make over $400,000.
Okay.
So more people will be able to get that credit.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. Excellent. Well, this is why I have you on our public affairs program, Rudy, time and time again, because your expertise and your knowledge, it has been such a huge benefit to our radio family and our listening audience. And I just thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're so welcome. Now, Rudy, this is just the beginning. We've got the second half of the program. We can get into more specifics,
mm-hmm.
not only about the tax reform, and as we mentioned earlier, the fact that refund checks, if you are expecting one,
mm-hmm.
they are scheduled to come or to go out, rather.
On time.
Yeah. That's the key.
Right. Yeah.
But we will come back more of the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you, Radio Family, for your great company. And we indeed will be back right after this. More of the weekend edition of Community Focus heard on our intercom stations Saturday and Sunday mornings. Thank you, Radio Family. Wonderful company as always. And the wonderful company of members of our Community Focus family. He is still regular, even in the new year of 2019. Enrolled agent Rudy Click joins me, Renee Vaughn. And Rudy is with A&C Accounting Services. He is an accountant and tax consultant. And, of course, that is our topic of discussion. If you are just joining us, we are sharing. Well, Rudy, you're doing more of the sharing. I'm just asking questions on the Tax Reform Act. And we're going to get into continuation of the things you need to know about the tax reform. Not only Radio Family and general changes, but Rudy, we're also going to talk about those itemized deduction changes as well. But picking back up on our conversation after the break, what are the changes to both the estate and gift tax? Let's talk about that.
Sure. And this is one of the changes that it's been a constant conversation about repealing the estate tax mm-hmm. and the gift tax. And so interestingly enough, even though that was been a lot of got a lot of chatter about that.
Right.
It still hasn't been repealed.
OK.
So we still have that the estate and gift tax with us. However, the estate and gift tax exemption has doubled now. Mm-hmm. It used to be that it was $5.4 million
mm-hmm.
In 2017. Now it's going up to $11.1 million. So you get double the tax that you can use to get the tax. But it's still with us. You still pay tax on it.
Right.
But it does help those people that's doing estate planning and estate or gift tax planning.
Right.
It does help you because it does give you a much higher threshold.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, right. Fantastic. Now, of course, the other big thing that I think has been a topic of debate or discussion, however you want to put it, the Affordable Care Act. Is the ACA individual mandate still effective?
It is not, interestingly enough. Well, I misspoke there. It is effective, but it's zero.
Okay.
So what is it, you know? So what you'll see on your taxes, it'll still look the same.
Right.
Is that they still expect you to have tax? I mean, expect you to have health insurance. Mm-hmm. Before the
right.
But if you do not have it, where it would be a penalty of $500 or whatever
mm-hmm.
it was,
mm-hmm.
at this point it'll be zero.
Wow.
So it's not there. So, yeah, that's something that's
interesting. That was huge.
yeah.
Because
a lot. Yeah,
right. Because that was really a very difficult situation that a lot of persons were finding themselves in.
Yeah.
In that they simply could not afford health insurance, but yet they were still being penalized at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's good to know.
Yeah.
Now, what was the changes made to the education savings plan? Give us some insight on that.
Well, The tax code had what we refer to as a 529 plan,
mm-hmm.
and that was to help you with tuition.
Okay.
It was primarily used for college-age children. You know, if you had children going in, you could take a 529 plan, right, help defer college costs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the new tax code, it now is allow you to use that money mm-hmm. almost like an education savings plan,
okay,
which means you can use it for K-12.
Right.
So if you're going to have kids that maybe going to private school or public mm-hmm. Or public-private school, the different thing, now you can take that money and you can put it in a savings plan to help them with education.
Fantastic.
Even through the K-year, from yeah. kindergarten forward.
Okay.
Forward, yeah.
Very good.
That's a big change.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, my friend, a lot of things within just the general changes alone. Is there anything that I left out that you wanted to add?
Well, you know, it's some qualifying requirements there. Mm-hmm. It's a qualified expense you can write off. It's up to $10,000,
right,
per child,
yeah,
in elementary school or secondary school. Mm-hmm. So it's always what's in the details.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So it's really important for all of us to really do our homework.
Yeah.
And, of course, to rely on very knowledgeable individuals like yourself. Rudy, before we begin our conversation on the itemized mm-hmm. deduction changes mm-hmm. that will be taking place here in the new year, I just wanted to ask as an aside, in all the years that you've been an enrolled agent, and I want to get back to the government shutdown. Mm-hmm. Now, they say this is perhaps the longest one ever, I think, in history, since the existence of government shutdowns. What typically, or how does, or even if it does, typically affect you as an agent when it comes to helping individuals like myself when it comes time to prepare our taxes?
Well, it frustrates us to no end, because those of us in the industry that works with the IRS and the Department of Revenues mm-hmm. Throughout the country rely on them to get information from them.
Exactly.
So we a lot of time when people have tax problems, they need us to get extensions for them.
Mm-hmm.
They need us to converse with the IRS about, you know, monies they're taking out of their bank accounts or pay.
Right.
And when they're closed, we can't speak to them.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. We can't get things there. And as you know, as a bureaucrat like the IRS is, things happen and stuff goes on. Interesting thing about it, my clients are complaining, which they tend to complain about the IRS a lot. But, you know, they're complaining because they said, well, they're still sending out letters, and they do, because that machine didn't cut off.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. They're still sending out the letters.
But true,
yeah.
Right.
Or they're still dragging my money out of my account.
That
didn't exist. So they're still getting revenue.
Yeah.
But they still not answering the call. So it does make it frustrating, and it slows up things, yeah.
And it really does. And and on the flip side of that, to Rudy, to... Let's just kind of take out the agency part of the Internal Revenue Service and to focus on the individuals who are trying to maintain a living just like the rest of us. And it's really hard when you have a lot of government workers who are furloughed.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to work with no pay.
No pay.
And this is going to be the case with those 46,000 that are going in to issue out our refund checks. So if, like I said, we take the politics out of this
mm-hmm.
and we just focus on the means of living, it's just as hard for anybody, no matter what you do for a living, when you're furloughed.
Well, imagine that if you're a business owner. If I'm a business owner, I have employees.
Yeah.
I find it very difficult to ask my assistants to come into work, but I'm not going to pay you.
Yeah. I mean, there are very few who fit that description that are willing to do it. Now, it is one thing when you love your job and you can say, I could do this, you know, and I think it's really more of just a saying that if you really love it, you would do it without pay. But in reality, I mean, we have to, you know, maintain some sort of living because we either have to take care of ourselves or we have family members that we have to take care of.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very it's problematic, to say the least, have to ask those government workers to do that.
Right.
You know? And I really think, you know, we all can show patriotism in different ways. But I think for them to go and say, I'm going to go and do that job because my country needs me, is a patriotic act. Yeah.
And I really appreciate you sharing your input on it. And I appreciate not only your company, Rudy, but the fine company of members of our listeners, I should be saying, you're a member of our Community Focus family, but I want to thank our radio family for tuning in. It is the weekend edition of Community Focus, heard Saturday and Sunday mornings here on our intercom stations. And you are not just hearing me. You hear me all the time, radio family, but it is nice to hear from various members of our Community Focus family. This particular weekend, it's Rudy Click with ANC Accounting, an accountant and tax consultant, or an EA, enrolled agent, joining me here on our public affairs program. Now, Rudy, thank you very much, too, by the way, for letting me share a little bit, and you sharing somewhat on this recent government shutdown. But getting back on track with the Tax Reform Act, let's get into the itemized deduction changes. One question being, has my state and local deductions changed?
Yeah, they have changed. And I think of all the effect of the new tax act, the individual itemized deduction is probably the Schedule A, is what most of us know it as.
Right.
It's probably the one form that's going to be tremendously different.
Right.
And given that, the you are able to take state tax, like if you paid your taxes for the state income tax, or if you took property tax on your cars or your vehicles,
right?
You're always able to take those on your Schedule A. Now you still are able to,
okay.
But the difference is it's a $10,000 cap on that, meaning that some of the larger states, the state tax can get very, very high,
right?
And so you can only take up to $10,000 on that state on that tax deduction, which would be a big impact on some people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, will I be able to deduct my mortgage interest? I don't think I've asked you that before, have I?
The mortgage interest is another issue.
Right.
Whereas there is a cap on mortgage interest at $750,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most interest bills won't be that high, of course.
Right.
But there is a cap on it, which means that if you do have several houses, or if you're a rental investor, that cap will affect you in what you do. So you have to do some more tax planning.
Right.
And this is what I'm saying, a little more complications, because you got more stipulations in there, what you can do and what you can't do now, which you could take it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And again, radio family, we try to bring the experts to you here on our public affairs show, especially on matters that deal with, in this particular case, tax reform. Speaking of which, again, Rudy, getting back to your years of experience, typically, how many new laws go into effect that you can bring to mind year after year?
Oh, several. I mean,
several, okay.
Yeah, several. Just the thing about the Schedule A, there was a provision on the Schedule A when you could take charity deductions, and you still can take charity deductions, but they're capped again.
Okay.
The Schedule A also, it will impact our truck drivers and our salespeople primarily, because they could take unreimbursed expenses.
Right.
Where if they were going out and they took clients out to dinners and stuff like that, they could take those expenses.
Right.
But those expenses are no longer allowed.
Right. It's interesting you should mention that, because it reminds me of a time in the early days of radio. Now, I don't know if radio stations, perhaps in smaller markets, still do this. The bigger ones may, but there was a time in which record reps or individuals who represented various record companies would visit different radio stations. And that would be the thing. They would take a few people out to lunch, out to special occasions. And I had always wondered, was this that type of situation that you're describing right now considered part of writing it off on a business tax, so to speak?
And that's what they use, the unreimbursed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And of course, as with most things, there's always change. The industry has changed quite a bit. So, but I, just as a side note, that was interesting that you had mentioned that.
Yeah. It will be some adjustments needing to be done.
True. Yeah,
right.
With certain persons who are under that category.
Right.
But Rudy, in the remaining minutes that we have in the program so far, what have been, in your opinion, the most frequently asked tax questions as you have individuals coming to you to help them to prepare for this tax season?
Well, they do get involved a lot in because this tax code act, reform act, really affects the businesses because even though there's some effect we just talked about with the individuals,
right?
This tax code is primarily more geared to businesses, and businesses are coming in and asking, mm-hmm. "How is this going to affect me?" You know,
right?
And so many of them are going to have to do a little more paperwork. Mm-hmm. There's some qualified benefits that they can get. And so their tax rates has gone down from as high as 37% to as low as 20%.
Okay.
So that's a big decrease there for them.
Wow.
So businesses are asking a lot of questions. But they're not really sure what's for most business people, even myself.
Yeah.
Uncertainty is not something. Uncertainty is not our friend.
Absolutely
right.
Not.
So were you concerned about that?
Right. Mm. Very much so. Now, from the individual side, when someone's coming in to file taxes, are there any concerns on their end with this new tax law?
Yeah, they're simply working on these 10 questions that we just talked about.
Right.
Many of them are working on, you know, they want to know what their tax rates are, how their tax mm-hmm. rates changed.
Right.
They're real concerned, and I find that there's some concern, especially with our truckers and stuff, about the effect on the Schedule A, because the Schedule mm-hmm. A was really a tool
that
to help them maintain and keep their taxes low. So Schedule A, losing mm-hmm. Schedule A is going to be a big problem.
Yeah. Well, getting back to what you were saying about uncertainty is no one's friend, Rudy. I think the one thing that we don't want our listeners to do is to feel that they're in a panic. I mean, we're still early into 2019.
Right.
So we have several months down the road in which hopefully, one, we'll see this government shutdown come to an end. That's first and foremost the mm-hmm. main thing. But secondly, you know, between now and especially that April it will be on the 15th this year, correct?
Yep.
It will be on the 15th. Just wanted to make sure because, we don't have anything unusually taking place in which we have that extra day in February that would kind of shift things a little bit. But when, you know, between now and April, there's still some time for us to get in contact with you, to ask any questions. So mm-hmm. right now, this is just a great way to prepare us between now and April. To get, like you said, these 10 questions that we've gone over, that outside of them listening to us here on the weekend edition of Community Focus, by all means, Rudy, they can get in contact with you or even see you in person.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
share your contact information.
Sure. We do our business out of Kernersville, and we at 210B Century Boulevard in Kernersville, and I can be reached by phone at 336-996-7650. And my website, of course, is ancaccountingservices.com. I have an email, which is info@ancaccountingservices.com. Always looking forward to meeting and talking to people and talking about the new tax laws and how it's going to impact them.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I probably should have said out from the outset about this new tax. Sometimes people think this tax code, and I think you should know this by the times I've been coming here, that nothing is set in stone.
Exactly.
Right.
True.
So this code is really going to open up in 2018, but it's due to expire in 2025.
Okay.
So.
And that's literally around the corner.
That's right.
The way we've been going these last months, we are moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, in the remaining couple of minutes that we have on the program, is there anything that you wanted to either go over again or add that I didn't ask in my questions to you, or just something you want to share with our audience in general?
Well, I want to also share that many of us, now that we're talking about refunds, many mm-hmm. of us need to be aware that the PATH Act, which was passed a couple years back, is still in force. That means that PATH Act simply says that no refund will be given out until February 15th.
Okay.
So still remember that. Still be aware that you can come in and get your taxes done, but the IRS will not send them out, especially if you have the earned income credit or the childcare credits, any of those type refundable credits. They won't be out to you. The refund won't be out to you until the 15th of February.
Okay.
At the earliest.
Okay, you heard that, radio family. So. Each time you go to the mailbox, anticipating it's not until that February date that that will actually happen. Well, Rudy, as always, my dear, I so appreciate this wonderful information that you send to us, especially updating us on the tax laws in general, which year after year, like you say, or like we've been discussing for the majority of our time together here on Community Focus, they change.
Absolutely.
And for every coming year, we should just expect that there's going to be some change.
Right.
But with change comes the knowledge of knowing what to do, knowing who to go to to get that help, and just really just not panicking, I think, is the best thing. And I know for perhaps for some of us, this time of the year, it can be frustrating, but it doesn't have to be.
Right, right. Yeah, and it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine.
I think you're right, too. Well, thank you so much, Rudy, as always, for your time. I always appreciate your great company. Now, I just wanted to go back over again. Your location is 210B Century Boulevard in Kernersville. Now, Rudy, this is how you know I'm old school. When I have to take my glasses all the way down to my nose to see that fine print. I'm getting older. I'm getting older. But again, 210B Century Boulevard in Kernersville. Now, you can be reached at 336-996-7650.
Exactly.
Okay. And your email is R as in Rudolph, J as in Jason, C as in Charles, so RJC at ANCAccountingServices.com.
Right. Services with an S.
With an S. That's right. Put that S on the end. Well, Rudy, thank you so much. Again, I appreciate your time. You know, with me, never any goodbyes, even in the new year of 2019. I look forward to your next opportunity of sitting down with me and engaging in great conversation.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, radio family, as well. Your company, greatly appreciated, too. And certainly all of the good things that you're doing in our communities in this early start of the year. I really appreciate that. Keep up the great work so I can keep talking about you. And certainly keep it right here each and every Saturday morning as we get the word out and we talk about good people like Rudy Click who are doing good things in our communities, especially getting us prepared for another tax season. Do enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of this weekend. We officially bring to a close another edition of Community Focus. Until that next time, take care.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.